Again, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes from the October 21st meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So, Tim and Charlie, you want to join us?
I think they won't be wrong. If this starts to get really long, we'll pause. Okay, so, Tim, do you want to give us first update?
The town issue has been resolved, thanks to most people's liking. We ended up charging the MSW C&D rate, so now we're breaking even on that end. But we backed off on the raising the full charge for recycling and without charging any rental fee on recycling containers. We also backed off on requiring a 10-year agreement, which does put us at risk. We could spend $300,000 and towns can close and they can go someplace else. So the agency's at risk for that. But it goes two ways. You know, if there's no contract, I don't have to worry. I can stop servicing a town on a moment's notice. Maybe if I find out a town is now banging our boxes with heavy equipment and destroying our equipment, if there's no contract in place, I can easily pull out. Maybe we'll find somebody else. It makes it easier. With contracts in place, you got to get attorneys involved. They have to go to a judge and all that sort of stuff. So it's a two-way street. But again, it doesn't put us at risk.
Can I ask, are you looking at, I don't know where I heard it, whether it was from your letter or from an email from Carl Chipman, are you looking at 5-year agreements with the town? Is that what's being discussed now?
I haven't heard. I know Carl said it at one point. He said he wouldn't mind looking at the agreements with the town. But they're looking at doing a cap. And I know I'm not interested in it as the board to discuss it. We're not interested in putting any caps on any contract.
Meaning half in terms of the tipping fee?
Yeah, because we have to break even every year.
Right.
We're a public benefit corporation. So if all of a sudden our expenses go up for some reason, and I'm just going to pick this out, you want to set a waste energy plant, or you want to set a landfill, all of a sudden there's a lot of bonding involved. And our tipping fee goes up, and we have a bonding. I have to be able to adjust those rates.
Right.
I can't have my hands strapped, but knowing very well what's 5 years from now. It would be like a town supervisor saying, I'm going to give my constituents a contract for the next 5 years. I'm not going to raise your rates. I'm going to raise your rates X amount, or I'm not going to raise them. And I realize that's what the 2% tax cap is trying to do.
Yeah.
But they can override that. I don't know. I don't know if that would really be feasible. It would go against my public benefit corporation. I don't see the two-way authority signing contracts with EV pass users saying, your polls aren't going to go up within the next 5 years. They're only going to go up next month. I just don't see that happening. It's not the way it's intended to work.
Right.
But didn't you just get two bids that, two RFPs that were for 5 years? Or, okay. So what's missing is a commitment for capital. And I think that, you know, there's a little bit of elbow room to work things out with the towns about, you know, the capital investment in keeping their current system going, and then there's the bigger picture about, you know, what we're going to do over time with the recycling facility or a landfill or, you know, a county or regional landfill, or, you know, those are the big picture questions that both the towns and certainly the legislators that I've talked to feel need to be solved. But I think a 5-year contract would, you know, allow use some security in terms of what Right. And I guess the big question is fixed price, but if you take the capital out and you're just considering the operating, what are you thinking of as the variable? Why would that vary? What is the variability in...
The board at next month's meeting says we want to build a single stream plant.
You want to what?
Build a single stream recycling plant.
Yeah.
We want to retrofit it. Now, we have to be able to cover those costs somehow. My hands are tied by not being able to raise rates. You're only going to raise them on one sector that doesn't have a contract with us. I think what you're going to have to do, and if you're going to open it up to a contract, we have to be, we want to treat everybody the same. That's the idea of a public benefit corporation. And especially on the program. The whole concept is making sure people are treated equally. And if you're going to do that, then I'm going to sign on contracts with Waste Management, County Waste, the big guys. They have to have some security too, because otherwise they're going to look at me. So when you sign a contract with them, we don't have a contract. And we have flow control to get out of all this contractual flow control.
Did you say that the board, the agency board, has already decided they want to build an expanded MRF for single stream?
Well, I'm just saying, so you're asking for variable, but I'm giving them to you.
So
let me put it this way. The towns have no risk by not signing a contract. I'm taking all the risk. The agency is taking all the risk because I'm literally going to have to spend about $325 next year. $325,000 next year on boxes. Now, I can lay out all that cash and then they can walk away at a moment's notice. All I'm asking for is a 60-day. They have no risk whatsoever because when we come up with the rates for the following year, they can decide to go someplace else, hire Waste Management. They can decide to do whatever they want.
See, I'm trying to get the information so I can encourage the towns to sign contracts, and I'm not hearing the assurance, you know, I no longer directly represent a town, although, I represent two towns in the legislature, but they have to make the decisions. And I've been really trying to listen to all sides.
Mm-hmm.
So given the fact that you have two secure agreements for the cost of disposal for the next 5 years while hopefully we find another solution and construct another solution or be part of that so that we don't have to keep sending our dollars and out of the county and burning fossil fuel to do it. Why would a five-year agreement not, if we get the towns to agree to it, why would that not be acceptable to the agency? Because that gives 5 years to really make all these hard decisions with everybody's input and then act on them, and then people can plan what those changes are going to be.
I would be in favor for that. I think the board would be in favor of that as well as okay. That totally goes against what we're doing. I have to be able to, when you look at the bottom of that, of our budget, you've seen our budget, $266,000 is that bottom number. Hopefully now that should put us up to around 8% of our operating budget. Still not what the comptroller's office wants. They want a minimum of 10%. So we're not in compliance with the comptroller's office, even after next year. I'm hoping in 2 years we will be. That number, with the way we're supposed to operate, we are not allowed to make a profit and we're not allowed to lose money. So that number at the bottom is supposed to be zero. If it's not, it's $266,000 because hopefully if the budget works out, then commodities don't drop. See, that's the other thing you've got to figure too. I was just at a recycling conference for 3 days. Strictly recycling. No MSW, no C&D. And I was talking to a recycling expert there. And we were talking about budgeting and so forth. And I was talking to him about the towns and so forth. And he goes, how do you budget for recycling? There's no way you can do it. Because I try to budget on what the Dow is next year. If it crashes like it did in 08, we were at zero. There was a time when we used to make $1.8 million a year in recycling. Hopefully this year we're going to do $500,000. That shows you how much it's dropped, the markets.
Isn't that also that we've lost a lot of volume to the private sector keeping their single stream?
We have, but I'll give you another example. I was at a conference, back from Westchester, showed a graph. This shows you just how volatile these markets are, depending on what's going on in China and all over the world. he showed this graph, the recycling was up 25%. He said, oh, yeah, this is great. That was a recycling conference. But he said, look at our revenues. Revenues are tanked. They're tanked because of the commodities. All the customers are going out of China. The green fence was talked a lot about this, at this conference, I was just at. That has greatly tanked the recycling market. So when I have to balance the budget, I'm crossing my fingers what the Dow Jones is going to be next year. And we're trying to predict what that's going to be. And so if the recycling markets drop, then ideally we should be in that 10 to 15% operating budget in reserves. What you're supposed to do is when you have that 10 to 15%, okay, that bottom number is supposed to be zero. If we have 11%, let's say, the recycling markets drop $600,000 to $700,000, we lost right off the bat. That's a negative number now. Instead of being zero, I'm going to pull that $600,000 to $700,000 out of reserves just to pay my bills. So I have to bring those reserves back up for next year, which means we're going to have a contingency. So to put handcuffs on this, saying you're not going to go over this amount, is really dangerous.
I guess the most important thing is right now that is the conversation still happening with the supervisors? Or is the assumption that, okay, we're in a good place for this year and now we'll just see what happens?
No supervisors have contacted me.
And
we sent a letter out a week ago or so, and I haven't heard from any of them. We had a 20-year contract, but no cap, and it worked great.
So maybe maybe the board would be amenable to somehow some kind of sit down with the supervisors again, moving forward, looking toward some contractual agreement. Because I understand it would give the agency peace of mind, and it would also give the supervisors peace of mind when you talk about the possibility of the agency then having the ability to just pull out at any given notice. I mean, this letter speaks to mining for, recycling. This letter might just speak to mining for recyclables. It's like, does that mean because you don't have a contract, if you find out that a town is pulling out the 5-cent bottles, that you're just going to...
Because that's happening now.
It's happening, I
know it's happening now. And what's happened is that the agency hasn't strictly enforced that. But there's a policy on our end that we're not allowed to give donations. It's an agency policy. We're not allowed to donate. So if I say it's okay to take all the revenues and donate them to people, if I'm condoning that, I can get in trouble with the board of directors. I'm not even following agency policy. I'm not condoning it. You know, if they're taking out thousands of dollars a year across the county, that's all the money that's supposed to be coming to the agency. We pull those bottles out and we sell those as a nickel piece.
The agency does the same thing.
Yeah, they do it. And that's why if that regulated material comes in and they're pouring out, employees pour it out for their own benefit, they give away to charities. I mean, that's fine, okay? But then we have to start breaking even on the recycling end. And we need to pull that pool charge back up so I'm breaking even. And we need to start charging for a rental container. So at that point, then I am breaking even, and do whatever you want. You want to mine the recycling? Fine. But when it comes into the facility, and this was discussed years ago when we had a contract, that the whole reason we set this system up is for us to generate revenue. I have nothing against the charities. I really don't. But it's supposed to be coming to us.
Well, some parties use it to balance their own books, not as a charity, but
you can't do that. They want to keep taking away from the agency. You can't keep just taking it. It's not theirs to give away. The towns are losing nothing by taking all those individuals. The agency is losing everything. If we put them in big bags, these nickel bottles. Mm-hmm. If I took one of those bags and I donated to whatever charity I wanted to donate to, I'd get fired. Because it's our policy. I would.
I hear you.
So.
Well, I think this all speaks to the need for continued discussion. I mean, and it continues, and some forum to have it. I mean, I know that I sent a copy to the board, or Christy sent a copy to the board of the resolution before us tonight, and I got Leon's feedback, and we tried to incorporate some more changes in the whereas that we tried to simplify rather than lay out every little detail. But
yeah, again, I wasn't identified. If we were charging $62 a pull, mm-hmm. that's what I need to break even for the driver to go out and get the material and the fuel and everything. Instead of the 43, and we were charging $85 a month for the box. At that point, I don't really care if they take all the nickel bottles they want.
Right.
Because at that point, on my end, I'm breaking even.
Right.
Wherever we get, we get.
Right.
So it's the town that's doing the donating from their funds, not from ours.
Right. I hear you.
But at this point, we gave up that. So because we gave it up, I need everything I can get.
But operating without a contract right now. Everybody's in kind of a precarious situation. The agency's in a precarious situation. And the towns, whether they realize it or not, are also in a precarious situation. If the town's being money and suddenly the agency pulls out.
Full control was both pulled out.
I don't think that we're not talking strictly about
full control.
Of course they won't. I don't know about that.
Well, I want to back up for something I said earlier. I said I haven't heard from one supervisor. That's not true. Before I went away to the conference, I did get an email from one asking if they can do... if they can get rid of the recycling however they please, and the C&D. And I wrote back to them saying, the MSW is the only thing that's covered under flow control. You don't even need us to pick it up. You can have somebody else, or you can put in your own trucks if you want, and bring it to us. It just needs to come to the agency.
Right.
But the recycling and the C&D, you can do whatever you want with. And they wrote back and they said, that's something we're investigating.
Okay.
I said, that's what I'm thinking about.
Does anyone else have any questions on the report?
I just want to say that I know that the Supervisors Association is going to continue to meet and try to they said they already sent a counterproposal. I haven't seen that, but they certainly, they're not forgetting about it, and they we'll be in communication. I expect they'll try to have some other meetings once they're clear about that.
You know, I see a lot of supervisors, daily travels or when they pass by. And they said a lot of this is being generated by just a few people. I've never seen a business. I'm in a little business. I'm even a small business. And you don't close off days if you want to generate more revenue. You open an extra day. You're open for longer hours. And a few of them, I was out there and they were insisting that there was $50,000 in the operating surplus. And it was incorrect. And I even sent out a nice, polite little note and they sort of sent back and said, well, we weren't referring to that. I guess they weren't. It's the way it is.
Yeah.
And some, not all of them, are crazy about this.
Which is good to know.
It's in my opinion. If you want to know.
Yeah. I would like to discuss resolution number 394, which is establishing the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, but I would like to wait for Rich, because he's coming, and he was instrumental in pushing this to actually...
Tracy, was Leon's the only response you got to that?
Yeah.
That was the only one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know, I'm not sure. Tim, you may want to wait through our discussion of other business, but if not, maybe it's Charlie, if you could at least wait.
Yeah.
So that you're here when we discuss the 394, because we'd like membership from the board as well. So,
has Rich seen this? The letter from
the
I don't remember seeing it, so let's take a look.
Okay, yeah.
At least this was the invitation. Is this okay?
Huh?
I'm sorry,
say that again?
Is that an invitation?
Sure.
Leon asked me to set up a tour of the waste energy plant in Dutchess County. And I contacted the executive director. This was a really bad month for him. He's got a lot of things going on. He said the week of December 1st would be good. I know Charlie said you can't make it.
Don, that we can. That's a problem for me. I'm not working unless the date is changing.
I did hear back from, obviously, Leon's going to be there. Dominic wants to go, and Catherine wants to go. I have not heard from David yet.
Okay.
But he wanted me to extend the invitation to the PD committee The executive director did say he would like to limit it to 8 to 10 people.
Will you let us know, maybe even through Krista or through me, Leanne, Krista, let us know the exact time and the specific date that you choose, and then
we'll... Yeah, well, he left the whole week open.
Okay.
I know John's going to go, too. Yeah, that's for me. He left the whole week open. He said that week, he said, I'm firing that easy. He's got DUC there, a bunch of other things. I know they have a new contractor operating the plant.
Okay.
The past 2 months. Lila Brader took it over rather than Covanta. So, what I'll do is I'll send in a notice out to the committee. If you guys want to pick some dates, I'll just throw it out there.
Okay, great.
He just told me any time that we can plan it.
And once we get this other, or assuming we get this other commission up and running, I would like to talk with the board about arranging some of, you know, some of these other tours of some, when I have them are again, which I know is a long trip, but I think it's important because there's a lot of people who haven't seen it, and it would be important for new board members of the agency board, new board members of the committee, and new commission members to potentially see it, looking more towards spring.
I know they used to sell scenes at IBM for the different plant.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you. And Charlie, if at least you can say, don't risk that there.
I can say, too. There's one more thing I would like to say, though, about the cash. I mean, that really, really concerns me on the contract. Because it goes against everything I learned when I was in graduate school. It's contradictory to the way the public benefit corporation is supposed to work. And with a cap on there, what concerns me is if the prices do, if the rates do have to go up for whatever reason, and inside the single stream plant, the commodity, the recycling market's not out, and that's come up. We could have a situation that we've got 85% of our stakeholders, not our stakeholders, the people that we are responsible to, anybody that uses the system. You know, so we could end up in a situation where we're using it for, depending if you include the city of Kingston or not, 85% to subsidize the 15. Now we're back in this whole thing that we're trying to get away from.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you just look at a town, if it's 92%, you got to pay 92%
of
people.
Net service fee.
Yeah. Or you're back to a net service fee. It could really throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. Where if you just treat everybody equally and say, look, for next year, the recycling market's dropped out, so we had to use money out of reserves, the builder's reserves got cut, it's going to go from 103 to 106 for everybody across the board.
Okay, so moving on. As we discussed energy initiatives in the proposed 2015 budget. I am Ken's here, he just stepped out. But Amanda, thank you for coming again. Can we do the energy initiatives first and then we'll talk about the state?
Amanda, could you come closer?
There's no way I'm going to hear you. I'm sorry.
The energy
we can.
So it's really just this is a follow-up to a conversation that Teresina and Manitoba and I had about a month and a half ago now. Just we wanted to highlight some of the items in the budget, and then also Kim is here. If you have any questions about vehicles, I know there's been a big discussion about vehicles as well.
Yes, thank you for coming. And the first thing is that I really wanted to highlight some of the different initiatives, like Ken was saying, in the capital improvement program. So these are items in the county executive's proposed capital improvement program. But looking through them, just to be aware that there are really environmental components of almost every one of these projects that are being proposed, whether it's something like kind of routine, like HVAC work, or a bridge replacement, or some of the stream management or the hazard mitigation work that's going on, especially up in the watershed, that, the Department of Environment works with all these different departments to think about to bring, next sort of resources to buildings work, to work with folks with stream design and hazard mitigation. So there's just, it's really throughout all the different proposals, but there's just a couple that I think are kind of neat and new that wanted to go through. First one, we've had, if folks haven't had a chance to look at the kind of green infrastructure work in the parking lot here that was completed this past June, it's something to definitely go out and see. There's some newer areas in between 1 Pearl and 17 Pearl on the far side of the employee parking lot where we did some retrofit work. Drew a grant fund from grants funded by DEC and NEWCIC, which is the New England Interstate Water Pollution Control Commission, and it helps manage and treat the stormwater runoff from the parking lot. It's something that was relatively modest in its cost. The work was done beautifully by our DPW, and it treats a considerable amount, about over 7,000 square foot of the runoff from the parking lot. We're able to do it so that it kind of nicely matches the uptown Kingston, this historic district. It improves the walkability of the site and improves the aesthetics of the site. There's wonderful native plants there that are attracting all sorts of pollinators and insects all summer long, which is great to see. Where there used to be blacktop, just asphalt, actual plants in the parking lot. It was done without having to sacrifice any parking spots, which was very important to a lot of people who have to have their time in and out of that parking lot. But I think it really showed kind of on the ground how those projects can serve multiple benefits. So we're actually looking at funding some more green infrastructure work, whether it's across the street here or another building. We're seeing the multiple benefits of that, and that's something that is worth spending our time and effort to further develop.
Did you say treats the water? Is it for percolation or
for percolation? So it's passive treatment. So it's encouraging infiltration of that water into the near surface groundwater table instead of it just kind of pouring off the asphalt into the street, into the catch basin, piped down into the lower surface. So now we're treating that through it naturally going through the soil and encouraging it into the near surface groundwater table.
Can I ask a question about that? Just to bring another idea. I noticed, over the last bunch of years, not recent past, but 10, 15 years, more and more of these giant ditches being dug on either side of Minnesota County State, even local roadways, that basically are expediting runoff into the water system, which always seems, to my mind, counterintuitive.
It's a tricky one because you're dealing with, doing things in order to protect and maintain your infrastructure, which is an investment, mm-hmm. and there are safety issues concerned with that, but also looking at what do you have to do that, and can you do it in a way that's most protective of the surface water system.
Right.
The best management practice is to do that only as you need to, and also to hydroseed behind it. But that's something that sometimes the timing doesn't work as well as it should when the hydroseed crew comes in behind the ditching crew.
Yeah.
But that's something that like our county stormwater management plan talks about and has to address in our urbanized area, which is additionally regulated by DC for stormwater issues. There's a new, you have to keep track of that too, also for different permits and for different procedures, just how much you're doing that.
Just curiously, do you have data on the runoffs before you make these improvements by storm or by...
So that's a very difficult thing to measure. It's a good question because you always want to have pre and post, monitoring if possible and data points. But because we're encouraging infiltration, we would actually have to, dig a well and do sampling out of the well to look at how the absence of pollutants in that water, because we're encouraging it down into the groundwater, it's very difficult to capture any of that water.
How much ran out into the catch basin?
Right. We actually monitored what kind of rainfall we get. So we do it that way by volume, but we don't do it by actually, because it would cost much more than the project cost to build, to actually do that kind of monitoring between the testing and the well that you would need for it. But it's a good question. We use models to kind of estimate it, but
and we are seeing decreased volume,
it's definitely going into the ground, so we know that we have good assurance that it's not carrying the same kind of pollutants as the surface water. So, but it's a good example of how things can have multiple benefits, and not just environmental benefits, but it's a great way to kind of improve the campus. People have responded positively to it, so we definitely are looking at expanding that. Also, we have the grant for Sophie Finn through Environmental Facilities Corporation, which is major at over $400,000 to incorporate green infrastructure into that campus. As that project moves forward, the same idea that it should be managing stormwater as responsibly as possible.
Where exactly is this in the parking lot?
Sorry for my
I'm here in the dark a lot.
So one Pearl, which is the building on the corner, and then where the Department of Environment is housed, which is 17 Pearl, which is the old probation building. So it's right in between those two buildings, and it's 6 feet wide, 3 sides of the parking lot, pretty modest, but it just from the way the parking lot slopes, it's able to intercept that sheet flow. The other side of the Department of Environment has a rain garden, which takes 3/4 about 1,600 square feet of roof drainage water off that building and treats it and encourages it to infiltrate. So there's a growing cluster of this green infrastructure around here in uptown Kingston. So that's one. Something that dovetails into our the other vehicle conversation is this looking at how to provide infrastructure for plug-in hybrid vehicles, because I really think that where we're seeing hybrids now on the road and more makes and models and acceptance, and you see them everywhere, in 10 or 15 years' time, I think you'll be seeing plug-in hybrids. And there's been some good work done by the Union of Concerned Scientists. There's a lot of people who say, well, you're just using electricity. Aren't there, fossil fuels or, different kinds of greenhouse gases associated with the production of electricity, which is true. But even when they looked across the country at the regions that have, the dirtiest electricity production across the nation, it still is cleaner to run a plug-in hybrid vehicle that's at least partially running on just grid electricity than to run even the cleanest fossil fuel combustion vehicle. So they're going to be the way, I think we're going to see a lot more deployment of them. So there's some good opportunity now, and we're finding some good support from NYSERDA now to look at setting up this whole network of plug-in charging stations at county facilities. And this would be for the use of, people tend to plug in first at home, and then the second place they plug in is at work. So these would be available to the commuting employees. They would be also be able to use by any fleet vehicles that would use plug-in hybrids, and then they would be available to the public.
How would that work, in terms of the public, would it be a, would there be a charge, or would it be 24 hours a day?
Right. So they're probably, they probably would be available to the public. It depends on demand.
Right.
But they would probably, I can't see that off the bat they would be, there would be so much demand for them that we would have to say that they couldn't be used by the public.
Although
we
hope that that,
hope that that would be the case. Maybe eventually. But I just used one, I used one down at City Moose Falls and talked to some folks down there. And how they have it in lots that are accessible by employees, but also in lots that are, there aren't gated off.
Mm-hmm.
So that if the public wants to use them, they can come down there and use them. The system, the vendor system, the one vendor is called ChargePoint, and they have a national network of charging stations. And they can be set up so that employees have a fob or a card, so that they're free to employees, but maybe there's a charge to the public. Anything like any scenario that seems kind of the way to go about that probably would be free for at least 4 years, and then evaluated at that point in time whether they were free or if there was a charge.
Right.
If you're required to pay for that. Service.
And how many are we looking at?
Pretty much, well, because then this goes back to the fleet vehicle discussion, how we'd like to, we really want to evaluate the plug-in hybrid vehicles or the plug-in hybrid vehicle with different uses. See where's kind of the best fit for those. So you'd like to see a network of those, county office building, courthouse, Golden Health, so they can be used by the health department, law enforcement, we'd like to see them out of college, maybe even one at Tree Resnick Harbor in Ellenville, so that they're geographically dispersed, business resource center, pretty much anywhere where you can get them in the ground. There's a little bit of, you know, if you run conduit, you need electrical runs and things like that. So there's a little bit of work with buildings and grounds to find the appropriate, the right sites for them.
And in terms of Sophie Finn, we're building with that in mind.
Right.
It was going
yeah.
in, right?
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
And it's really different arrangements that we've identified. There's a lot of work that's done by the county, by our employees, and we use
it
as in kind and then actually some grant funding. So there's a lot of opportunity right now. We have a huge impact with a
modest investment on our half. Absolutely. And then the infrastructure is there, which is really fantastic. So that's moving along. Also, that's in the Capitol, the LED lighting, which was actually originally intended to be in the Capitol, but we had to move ahead with that. The contract is executed, and we actually anticipate that that retrofit will be done by the end of the year,
wow.
which is great because we'll be realizing that savings off the bat in 2015. We'll make a nice clean break as far as electric bills are concerned, and we'll have that point to look at.
Yes,
and again, for folks who may not be familiar with that, that's LED outdoor lighting retrofit at mental health parking lot, the UCLEX, the law enforcement center, the county office building, the courthouse, the whole entire yard at the GPW, at the quarry, which is that's like 100 lights, outdoor lights right there, and savings in the area of about $50,000 a year in lighting. Another lighting project that's in the Capitol is to install sensors, lighting sensors at UCLEX, at the law enforcement center, and that goes back to, that was a recommendation that was included in 2010 in the Siemens Energy Audit that we discussed quite a bit in the Climate Smart Communities Committee meeting a couple weeks ago, right? That building, there was a very detailed energy audit done of all the county buildings. It included an audit of lighting at at UCLEX, which included both data loggers that tracked when the lights were on in different rooms and when they were occupied. And what we were seeing was that a lot of lights are left on in unoccupied spaces. So that lighting sensor work there can actually save over about $11,000 a year there's some next sort of money that can be used for that as a retrofit, and that we can take it to, you know, conservatively a 5-year payback, but probably less than that. So we've been working together, Kim Nolan, who's the fleet manager, and myself, on looking at some of more of the usage and the data of the fleet. And this is pretty, there's a couple things. This isn't like a, this is work in progress data. Like this isn't, I'll point out a few things here. It doesn't quite, you know, this wouldn't be the final cut on things. Right, so this comes with a bit of explanation once folks get the data. No. One of the things when we think about the fleet, and Kim says this all the time, is that it's old. Let's sit down and look at this. Let's make a count of this. We were just able to just do a quick summary here. Make a vehicle in the fleet to go back to 1988. So, you know, 25, 26 years old.
What's
the Buildings and Grounds. And I'm sorry, this is done, there's some abbreviations in here that probably should be spelled out. But kind of the important part here on this first page is that the purple portion of this pie chart is those vehicles which are 2011, 2012, 2013, and 2014. So four model years. And now we're in 2015, so really like the last 5 years. And it's just over a quarter of the fleet, that 26%. But with the rest of that pie being older vehicles. And then you can look at this is just the distribution, the same data. Just to look, you know, there were a lot of vehicles bought in 2008.
What's that spike? I mean, what's the department? That spike was the DSS, Department of Social Services, because this was before I started here,
right.
But they, the Department of Social Services, they rent vehicles from us because they get reimbursed by state for those vehicles. So the big spike was for them in 2008. 2007 and 2009 as well. That was all. It's a mix, too, in this chart, because it's also showing if the Sheriff's Department got cars. That's where that is. But the big spike was not the Department of Social Services. And that was the Chevy Apollo report. We downsized their vehicles from the Impalas recently. For the 6-cylinder, we've now gone to 4-cylinders with Fusions. Because they haven't gotten vehicles in a while. So the problem is, when it comes to Department of Social Services, you have to keep in mind your client. So that's where they do have caravans. The children are trained, so same thing. That's why we downgraded the Apollo. The Fusion and the Apollo are just, it's not a big difference in size, but it's also 4-cylinder, so we're going from 6 to 4, which is always saving us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's why we did that.
The second page is just kind of a snapshot of, and there's a back to that second page. Is a snapshot of the fuel usage and the efficiency miles per gallon that getting by department, because I think that helps you start to drill down into what those different uses are, like DSS or versus highway. The total vehicle count on this page is 313. The total vehicle count on the front page is 319. That's one of those little details that I was mentioning, and that just has to do with what list we were working off of. So I know that those numbers don't match.
These are also a mix of an auction coming out, so that's why the numbers are fluctuating.
We're moving around.
Is the truck 10 cars mixed?
Yes.
I find this really shocking per gallon. I mean, look. I don't know what it's
so you've got truck, driving. You got trucks in there.
She's got like a school bus. But it's really
Like 11 miles per gallon in quite a lot of departments. I mean,
That's
really painful.
I feel very
hard. In those services, so
20 miles per gallon,
I feel like we're doing pretty good. We also have a lot of older vehicles.
Right.
Which the problem, too, is the older vehicles, you're not saving anything with gas mileage.
This is the problem. Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening because, like, for example, information services, they have 2,000. They have 2,000 vehicles. They're older vehicles.
Yeah.
We recently upgraded them a little bit by taking, we take vehicles from the Department of Social Services and we'll re-give them out once we get them in cars, just to update them a little bit.
That's one of the ways that we maximize the reimbursement is to do the new cars to Social Services and then they're hand-me-downs,
But also, you know, and this is discussions that we've had, are, you know, trying to think about, okay, so I have to drive vans because they're carting around equipment. But the Caravan is getting, you know, under 20 miles a gallon, under 15 miles a gallon. Then the newer Transit Connect, which you can buy a small van that is getting like 22, 25 miles per gallon, you double the fuel efficiency if we could put them in something that's newer, that's more appropriate for what they're doing.
What's that Lexus department? Those vans aren't like 10 miles a year, it seems like. Not worth having
I'm not
the micromanager right now, but I'm impressed by what the information can tell us as we start to talk about a fleet policy and analyze what's in place and what policies are in place. But when I look at this, I think, wow, this is a lot of real information that you can drill down to solutions.
Which is relatively new.
Fuel cards. Like, because we can get in the same database that Kim is in, pull this out, certify cars and vehicles.
Certified department. So make it easier if you just want a snapshot of one department.
Yeah. In highway, for this analysis, just so you know, we kept in the, like, Chevy 3500s, like the bigger crew cab pickup trucks, but we took out the dump trucks, the snow plows, the bigger equipment. So that's going to affect the numbers and the mileage. But I kind of felt like I had to draw the line somewhere. I wasn't, you know, we should probably look at everything in some other kind of analysis, but at least for this, I didn't feel like it was fair to put the snow plows in with the passenger cars.
And we don't use I'm asking this question, you know, I'm phrasing it as a statement. Maybe I'll just change this question. Do we use biodiesel?
Not at all. No. And then same information with some bar charts on the back. This is another way to kind of capture that. Some people are number people, some people like the bar chart. Just looking at number of vehicles per department, you can really see the highways and the sheriff's office have the bulk of the vehicles. They also have the bulk of the gallons of diesel and gas. And then looking at those average miles per gallon, it's graphically in a chart format by department.
What would the unassigned refer to?
Those are basically, they're auction cars that we've taken off, but they still had this. So those are the unassigned vehicles that came from the different departments.
And they kind of go back to the central.
They go back to the central auto, which is where I am, and that's how they got put there.
So if the 46,000 miles driven on them.
Some of the, so they might have been in the pool the entire year.
Uh-huh.
And now, for this purpose, now they've moved back under Kim's kind of purview. So they had cars and usage associated with them.
It would come out of there, but we're reasonable to know.
Right, this data goes from August to August, so she's just pulling them back more recently into her pool, but they would have been deployed and, you know, maybe in different departments.
For example, like a legislator or some kind of executive needs a car to go somewhere, they'll come out of that unassigned pool that she puts in there.
And can I ask, just not to pick on, but just again, the Western Department, since it's one vehicle and it's just 456 miles, is that a specialized van or is it just a van?
No, it's a specialized van. We would take all the machines.
Oh, okay.
Special machines that they use.
I mean, is it just specially outfitted to be able to carry those machines?
It has a lift and everything. That's when they originally bought it.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll last a long time.
We got new machines before.
I'm glad to see Amanda that the government requirements has come up with that.
Which we have a pretty old car, so I'm saying that I was feeling pretty, you know, I feel bad about our old car, but
we're
excited about the gallop. I know what OFA stands for.
The environment still felt wrong, so I fixed that.
This is all relative. I mean,
right. And like I said, there's still something like I wouldn't use as many abbreviations, and the numbers were, you know, there's a little discrepancy.
As we talked about the green fleet policy, it's our hope to come up with common reports that we provide to the legislature and give them measure progress. I mean, that's kind of our goal.
And tonight we're going to talk about the green fleet policy some, and I put together a packet for the legislators of sample policies from other states, other counties, and I'll make sure that Kim gets a copy of that as well, just to even look at it. Nothing's set in stone yet, but I'm hopeful that by next month it will have something to put forward for January.
Well, we wanted to add the type of data that we now have and how we can illustrate it, you know, the feedback.
That's great. And it might maybe would even involve, as we go through this packet, maybe even with John, like maybe we can sit down with Kim to talk about, you know, where we're thinking in terms of calling all this information to try to get a policy in place. To bring a little more now that we have access to real data, which is actually, I think,
also
super helpful.
I have a question. It's so I'm looking through it. If you take the number of miles driven and you look at the number of vehicles assigned to particular departments and you divide it, it seems like there are a number of vehicles that aren't driven but a few thousand miles a year. How does Kern County policy work in terms of deciding when a county vehicle will be given to a department as compared to an individual just being reimbursed for using their own vehicle?
Well, it depends. Some of these departments just stay in the city of Kingston. So it's not a show as much mileage as somebody going outside of the county.
But can't they use their own vehicle and get reimbursed?
Some departments do have mileage reimbursement. They do have it, and they've been doing it.
Right, but where would the decision be made?
I think, just from my experience, I could speak to that a little bit. You know, maybe going to a conference or driving, that kind of driving is one thing. Another thing that we do with our county car is outfall inspections and work along county roads. And in that case, I'm not comfortable with people in a private vehicle doing that, because we want to make sure that, you know, we have the safety cone, that we have a marked county car, because we're doing kind of work along the ditch line. We'll also have a light on the, you know, that we can put on the top, so that I want to feel that there's safety issues with them doing that kind of work, where I'm not comfortable with them in a private car.
What about something like the Boston engine?
They have clients that go on those vehicles, and they're not comfortable taking clients on their own vehicles.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Also, people want to, when you're visiting a senior to do an assessment in their home, they want to see an official seal on the car, and they'll, you know, they'll want to know who's coming up to their house. Mm-hmm. And that really identifies it as a government official coming to the house. There's not a private, you know, person soliciting their business. Or
yeah, and I can certainly see that.
Yeah, and another thing that that I'd like to get a handle on, not necessarily right now, but is also how all of us interfaces with home vehicles, how the policy that was instituted when I was last year, which I believe is still in place, but I'm not sure how it interfaces with all the departments and how it interfaces with the cars going home. I mean, a lot of what I've looked at in relation to the proposal that the chairman put in, and then the suggestion that came out of the executive's office, and then looking at these existing policies, kind of comes out of Tim's question as well, you know, is when you start to really think about, and I know this is what you think about every day, so it's like just saying it more for the record, but when you start to think about greening a fleet, the first thing you think about, which may be counterintuitive, is downsizing the fleet. Like, that's the greenest thing you could do, is have less vehicles. So I think it's really great that now we actually have the ability to look at concrete numbers that relate to, you know, exactly what we're seeing here. How many miles are used, how many gallons, and what the vehicles are. And you can very, you know, I can't intuit everything from here, but I'm sure, Tim, you know your cars inside and out. So you say, what vehicles are they, and where are they going, and does it make sense? And some of this, I think, is also, you know, institutional. I know there, when we first tried to institute that take-home vehicle policy, I can't even remember what year it was, there was a lot of pushback because it had a formula for that if you didn't fit the formula in terms of how many miles you used while you were off duty, how many on-call times per month, et cetera, then your take-home vehicle was taken away. And the pushback from departments at that time was immediate. Everyone was like, oh, the car is part of our work stipulation. It's a benefit of work. And, you know, we got pushback from the unions. I remember at that time it was Rich Parody, myself, Charlie Busick, pushing that all through.
We do publish annually a list of all of the vehicles and whether they're assigned to take them or not. And we don't have it with us, but it's on the website.
It's on the website.
But again, you'll see it's mostly sheriff's department vehicles and highway vehicles.
I mean,
the county executive doesn't take cars home. I mean, most county executives have a car and a driver, to be honest with you, but he doesn't even take a car. I mean, we try to lead by example. Most of our department heads don't have a car. If you see a car going home at the Department of Social Services, that's usually someone who's on call that's responsible to go do an extraction in the evening, that type of thing.
Right.
For the most part, law enforcement and highway officials and a pickup truck with a chainsaw and some equipment that might be called out.
Yeah. And law enforcement, in terms of the policy that we instituted, patrol vehicles were outside of the policy. I mean, it's something I've been on record as disagreeing with. So many take-home patrol cars, there's just a difference, maybe a difference of opinion in terms of the benefit take-home patrol vehicles, but they were necessarily outside of the idea of a policy because they're considered emergency vehicles. But that's another debate for a different forum than here as we're talking about green vehicles. But I do think for me at least, this is really helpful, and I look forward to the opportunity to sit down with you, Kim, and gain more knowledge so that I have a better handle on it, a better understanding. Does anyone have questions? Anyone?
I just wonder if there's been any thought about biodiesel or ethanol or other fuels that can be derived from waste materials.
We're just recently starting looking for that stuff. Especially the biodiesel would be good, especially the pilot.
Yeah, it would be great.
But which I'm still looking into that. I was trying to get, you know, the current fleet a little more up to date, but I started already looking into the highway department, and I'm with the garage supervisor over there, and we're trying to go over all the different types of gases we could use or buy them easily.
Yeah.
But yeah, we already started looking into it, but we're not anywhere near that yet.
We had talked about it years ago, and we looked into a pilot program for biodiesel. I want to say 20, does that make sense? Like a 20% biodiesel, something that seemed modest at the time, but at the time we were in a severe budget crisis, so it was really hard to get the pilot program off the ground. People were looking at it differently instead of as an opportunity to save money and be progressive. So
it's probably more readily available now.
Yeah.
And, you know, people want to be assured that it's not going to affect their equipment.
And it's not going to feed them in cold, which now there's a lot more. I mean, it's been tested. Yeah. Anyone else? So what I would hope to do is, and this is going to circulate, John, you'll get it as well. There were some more documents that I thought would be helpful. There was a discussion and a work discussion, but they were way too long. So I'm on a 35-page document, so we're going to send those electronically. But my hope is that at the next meeting, we'll have something to put forward for a vote. So in that interim, we would have a chance to speak to you, Jim, potentially.
And there's an excellent talking about Dobbs Ferry.
It's a little hard to find.
Is it in the package?
Yeah, that's one of those
good. Because PHB, who's the consultant to NYSERDA that supports municipalities who are climate smart communities in the Mid-Hudson region, works with Dobbs Ferry on that policy. And so that comes with a guidebook. I've worked through that for a few times, and you know, really, it comes with an Excel worksheet for maybe a municipality that's starting through this process that doesn't have the work that we've done already on this, but you know, all those major downsizing, right sizing, looking at your use, you know, going through the hierarchy of how to think about reducing meaning of use.
Great. And so yes, that is, I mean, I worked with so many that kind of became starting to sound good, but I picked the ones that I thought might be most relevant or what makes it, and I realized it's about paper, but I thought that it was really kind of worksheet where people could mark, you know, what they think is relevant, maybe work, you know, we could have a work session to try to get some more solid and get some things on paper, which might then also include the pilot program.
I mentioned the idea of having a policy that we're going to let this year. Only one person from the county government, particularly, came to me, said it's a good idea. Let's look into it. It was Paul. Good idea of running a pilot. Suddenly, there's all sorts of ideas going on, and if you remember the last meeting, we asked for all these backward things, going back, and I did see some, a document here, quoting things back to 2008 and 2010. Now, I want to say this. After the last go-around, I had a very good meeting with the executives, so I'm going to watch my words very carefully. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to go backwards. But I find it's ironic that there's a policy coming forward. You're making a policy, not them. and they're trying to influence it in some strange ways. I'm going to give you a couple for instance. Seems to me that the work in progress, we'll keep hearing that for 10 years, it's been a work in progress. I have some data here that I got from Albany, Department of Motor Vehicles. 121 vehicles since the year 2010 registered to Ulster County. Their number comes to about 80. In the year 2014, if you look at your sheet, they have 18. I have listed 37.
2014, 18 new vehicles?
These are vehicles. Well, if it's registered, if it's a registration of 2014, that means that's
oh, you're saying 2014.
This came from the State Motor Vehicle Department.
And you're 2014 vehicles?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Year 2014. Now, am I guessing this person? I'm trying to couch my words very carefully.
Right, they said there was no school cars.
My point was that we should have a policy to set up to green the fleet sometime or year 2020. The committee didn't want to do a pilot program. The executive took it out of his budget. So that part's over and done with. Not going to do a pilot project. They're talking about plug-in hybrid experiment. That's right out of the book. You know, everybody knows what the hybrids get. They know what the electric costs are, or they can plug them in, and that's the efficiency based on the cost. What we were talking about was bastard vehicles, you know, something else that's used to see if we can come up with a factor that would make it worth the effort. The data that they gave us last time showed that in the vans for, was it 20,000 miles or 10 miles of a gallon, the investment would be paid for in 2 years.
And they said it was 4 versus 2.
Well, I want you to see the printed data that they handed us. Printed data, it's in here somewhere. My point is, I think we should establish a policy. If the committee doesn't want a policy, that's okay, they'll vote it down. But a work in progress, two candidates, how many years ago? 4 years, 5 years? Now there's suddenly a work in progress. And again, I'm going to reiterate, I'm trying to tell you my words because the executive and I had a very good meeting. You know, I'm going to come and promote what I have to promote. I don't want to say what I just said other than for historical reasons. Okay?
I hear you.
But I could go on and on. And I just want to scratch out, upon completion of the successful pilot, because it's not going to happen. He took the money out of the budget. If you didn't know it, nobody said anything about it, so the money's gone. There won't be a funded pilot that everybody can see. There may be one inside an office somewhere, but not a funded pilot that everyone could see.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean,
is there anything in the budget that says vehicle pilot?
No, but there is $825,000 in contingency in the budget, which technically in a balanced budget is money that the legislature, even at any point, could authorize.
So I'm glad to establish this as the direction of moving on.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's me speaking, but I think that, I got to say, John, I am super excited. Like, I'm in a little bit of a blur because it's still at 2 budget weeks and trying to get to the budget, but looking through all this information at these policies that have been established that are pretty comprehensive, some with pilot programs, some without, some without pilot programs, but some that basically direct pilot programs. I think you've
put in
that resolution has gotten
on. Not me, it's what's the right idea.
Exactly.
But I still have to chuckle to myself that there's a lot of fluff. I mean, here's something that Jay just put together for me. Is that it, Jay? You give it to Tracy and you can give it to the, is this part of it? No.
That's
it's zero emissions policy coming out of Albany. So anyway, that's my point. I want to count that pilot part because it's over.
It's never over, like I said.
It's over to vote on the one. I mean, what are you going to do? Punt the federal completion of one pilot?
It isn't over because, like I said,
that's what I'm saying.
Even as we move forward, I mean, I'm hoping that that the committee's going to work through
evident there, everywhere.
I don't think it's about a garbage truck,
maybe a good idea. To do one on a prisoner van truck might be a good idea. And I'll just point out that I have a motor vehicle printout. I don't think it's in there. This is mine. I'm going to repeat what I said. Okay? And then I'm going.
Okay.
But, it's fine. It's fine.
Why not just implement what the state does? State's got to have some kind of policy, right? On a state vehicle?
Yeah, it's probably even less comprehensive than what we want to do. I mean, what I put in your packet, which will be some samples, including, which coincidentally may have brought up, that starting with a pretty progressive packet that was put through Climate Smart Communities, which I thought was relevant because we are Climate Smart Communities. And I think we can get to something. I mean, Kim, I've got Kim right here with this information, but I also really, I feel like I need to sit down and I need to get a handle. Like the take-home vehicle policy, I hear some people say it's not being followed at all, some people say it's being followed with a letter. It's a real, you recall that policy.
But it's not being followed at all. That's this other thing. I mean, there's enough boilerplate out there to have run a pilot program. And it was all convoluted in, well, we did that and we didn't buy that many vehicles for a couple of years, and it's just inaccurate. That's all. There's enough to do it somewhere along the way.
Thank you very much for your time, Walt. I have to split.
I'll keep you in the loop directly.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you very much. She's visited some schools.
Okay, so Resolution 314, which is what we've been talking about in order to all this, Chris, what I'm saying is we just had Jim here, the fleet manager.
What was that? Casey works for us and her daughter.
Yeah, okay.
One's in Albany or two are in Albany, but they're going to be okay. But
this
poor little girl turned right in front of the car.
So Resolution 314, I'd like for everybody, I read a lot of homework, so to look through this packet, both what I gave you and then we just got from the chairman another person to look at it all together. I will welcome email feedback, email notes. I'm going to try to distill it down into something that we could actually vote on in a working session that we could work through. And it also might require that, which I'll keep everyone posted, I would like to reach out and meet with Kim myself. I'd like to better understand the vehicles. I think that this information we got from them today is great. And very helpful. I would like to understand the take-home policy, which I'm not trying to harp on it, but all one thing leads to the next. I mean, I think it is about downsizing, right-sizing, picking the right vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm hoping, I'd like to postpone, once again, Resolution 314.
I'd like to just to explore, maybe it's not possible, but maybe it is, on vehicles that are getting low usage, possible sharing among departments.
Absolutely. I think absolutely. That's the first takeaway that I see. So unless that's why I want to sit down so I can understand if there is a vehicle, like for example, we said, as part of the regression, we find out it's a specialized vehicle. But here we have a vehicle that's getting 456 miles, that's utilized for 456 miles a year. So
can someone else use that for another program?
Exactly, and that right down the line. And also, because you can't do a straight division, you can't go pick the Department of Health. You can't go, there's 15 vehicles, divide 113,000 miles into 15. One vehicle might be doing 50,000, and one might be doing 5. So as you start to see that breakdown, to ask those right questions, like why is one vehicle only doing 3,000 miles a year? Why do we have three vehicles in one department doing 3,000 miles a year and three in another department doing 2,000? I do more than that combined myself. Can we think about sharing? Exactly the same. Can we put them in the pool? And again, it would go to the, it would go to the take-home vehicles and go to downsizing the whole fleet if possible. You know,
and another thing to think about, and I don't know if it's relevant or not, an analysis would show, is when someone requests a vehicle from the fleet, they should be offered the most efficient vehicle first, as a matter of policy.
Yes. Especially since we have a range of efficiencies.
Mm-hmm. Not the biggest vehicle.
And you know that, and that begs the question. I mean, not to harp, but and Rich is the only one here who would remember whether or not it's true. But I remember we got a quasi grant at some point. I don't know if it was a grant or whatever from the Department of Homeland Security or some department. We got a like a Hummer, not like a fully armored Humvee vehicle. Remember?
It's the what do you call it? You see that in a parking lot once in a while. You see that in parades or something.
Okay, so we accepted it. I remember at the time, again, the two of us complained, and we brought in newspaper articles of other communities that had said, no, even though it's free, we're not going to take this because what's it going to be used for?
We spent hundreds of hours training people on it.
And a crazy amount of...
One guy is responsible for it.
Exactly, a crazy amount of gas usage, et cetera. And so,
yeah.
We have to look at all that. We have to look at what types of vehicles these are.
Iron vehicle.
And, you know, is it a patrol? Do we have a, is vehicle one a patrol car? Is vehicle two suburban? Do we have suburban? What are the vehicles in the fleet? What are the types? So, but I feel like we're on the right track and we have a ton of information. The challenge is going to be getting it to a point in shape, and I'm hopeful that, as John said, boilerplate, there are enough policies here, some of which are really fantastic. I mean, we'd have to tweak, and I think then we'd have to also get an understanding of our own fleet. We, meaning legislators, because I assume and I know that the fleet manager has an understanding of the fleet. I'm saying we as legislators need an understanding of the fleet, and hopefully we can move something that's both progressive and thorough forward.
I just want to suggest that we take a look at, and I haven't done this yet, but the Manhattan Regional Sustainability Plan dealt with energy, water, land use, but one of the areas was transportation. And generally, in my observation of the process, they brought together the people in the region that knew the most about each of these areas. And they met mostly as volunteers time and time again, hundreds, thousands of hours, and collectively put together a plan. And it cost, and I should have paid $1 million for that plan, you know, in 10 regions around New York State. So let's not have it just sit on the shelf. And I can try and, you know, find the website and get them to Chris to share.
Yeah. Chris, if you could get, and we'll find out if we're having any hiccups in doing that. Chris, if you could get, I think it'd be good, one, to circulate the whole plan, but then if we could also electronically circulate the transportation portion and look at it in the immediate. Because again, it's my goal that at the next meeting, which is the December meeting, that we have ideally have something, some working living document that ideally we can move forward
as for
discussion or this week. Because I don't mean the same thing. I was about to say the same thing as about the polystyrene foam, which Mary and I have been talking about for a long time. But we have been so swamped with all this other stuff that I feel like it's a lot to push it in the last minute. And the second problem is that putting it to, if we were to decide right now, if we were to spend an hour tweaking and we were to decide which one, putting it to a public hearing in December, I think is a mistake. I think we should invite the most participation, and December is a really, really difficult month. So we will know by our next meeting, we will know what the January meeting dates are, both the organizational meeting and the regular meeting, so we'll be able to potentially, on the contact phone, I'm going to meet with Mary. We're going to tweak our draft a bit. I mean, as I said before, I know we're looking at two ostensibly competing resolutions, but in fact, Mary and I put in a lot of, we began with the document that is Jeanette's resolution, and we looked for something more comprehensive, and actually I've gotten feedback on both from the Department of the Environment, from legal, so there are tweaks to both that need to happen, but I'm hoping we can advance the more comprehensive and see what comes back from a public hearing, which we just heard from Tim that Albany County said when they had their public hearing, which was on the less comprehensive one, the one that Jeanette's resolution is Albany County's resolution, that people flew in from the industry from all over the country to vocally oppose it, which I would expect the plastic industry. But it'll be interesting to see as a smaller county if we just at the same level of pushback on whatever it is that we're going to work with. I mean, one thing Mary and I have talked about in the resolution we put forward is we plugged in dates as a rollout, which obviously now are irrelevant, but I would like the committee's feedback on if we go with a more comprehensive plan, does the committee and other legislators, would you like to see a rollout starting with the chain foods, or would you like to just see a longer lead up and it goes to everyone? I mean, these are things I think that we need to debate and work out. And I think we need to go through the resolution like point by point, getting feedback. So again, I'm hoping that I'd like to postpone, unless you guys give me different feedback right now, but I'd like to postpone.
I'm willing to support it, but it's through the sponsor, so it's up to you.
I think one more month would be enough, and it would also give us the time to get a more vigorous response in terms of the public hearing. I'd like to make a motion. I'll make it to postpone resolution number 314 to next month's meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry. And then I'll entertain a motion to make them all to postpone local law number 12 and local law number 13 of 214 to the next month's meeting, which I think will probably end up changing the number of it because it'll end up being the first local law of 215, which actually is a
good start.
So again, if everyone, all in favor?
Aye.
So these will be the first things on our agenda in the December meeting. We're going to get the 394, plus 394, and then I'll just update some. Resolution number 394, establishing the Ulster County Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission. I said this to everyone, and Krista sent it out to the agency board. I got back from Tim with comments from Leah. Did we put in track agency here?
Not.
Okay, so Leon had two comments. The first was regarding concern about the italics in the first whereas of the second page. I'm not doing it in order, but it's from memory. And the whereas italics is directly out of the law, which I responded in and told these things. So it wasn't my attempt to add it.
Actually, I would have looked that up, but I was away from the other one.
So, and then his other concern was, again, in the warehouses, if we go to, whereas, it's on the first page, I believe. Okay, last two whereas, second last two whereas on the first page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 whereas down, 1, 2, 3, 6 and 7. So whereas pursuant, oh no, you're
7 and 8.
It's just 7.
Yeah,
right?
just 7.
And
the bottom one.
We changed it. So it says, and so right now it says whereas service agreements have been agreed to between UTRA and the majority of the towns and the city of Kingston. It didn't say, and most of these agreements are set to expire by the end of 2014. So it used to say that you could specify that the city of Kingston was out of contract, right? And then it said most are set, that the agreements are set to expire. It didn't say most. And Leon pointed out, obviously accurately, that we have 3 agreements that extend to the end of the bonds. You know, Ulster, Newport, and Lloyd. And then we have the villages that didn't sign agreements, but rather than have a bunch of whereases and whereas the villages didn't sign agreements and whereas, but, you know, we just went to that most are set to expire. So hopefully that will solve the problem. And since it's a whereas, it's not binding language anyway, it's just sort of backwards. So that's my understanding. It is more accurate, definitely. It was a good catch. Because I had forgotten about the particularly the ones that are so I guess that what we should really finally just make sure we're comfortable with are the resolves. And that's, on page 3, you know, that we established the Improvement Commission, and then shall consist of up to 11 members, going through the typical language of the Denver. And then, let's look in particular at the third one. Resolve that the membership of the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission shall include, 1, the chair of the legislature or designee. Some of this was changed as a result of our last meeting and our last discussion. The chair of Ulster County Legislature's Ways and Means Committee or designee. The chair of Ulster County Legislature's Energy and Environment Committee or designee. The president of the Ulster County Association of Town Supervisors and Village Mayors or designee, the mayor from the City of Kingston or designee, the chair of the Resource Recovery Board of Directors or designee, and which I think was also a good change that came out of the committee last month. We talked about being specific in terms of the designations as being consistent where there were chairs. Designating a chair and then it's not allowing the chair to designate so that we didn't get into a micromanaging. And the following members to be recommended to the full legislature for appointment by the Energy and Environment Committee. A representative from the solid waste disposal industry, a representative from the reuse and recycling community, a representative from the League of Women Builders or related environmental group representative, and 10 and 11, 2 ad hoc representatives of the general public. Ad hoc, what's the other? At large? Is at large more appropriate?
No,
ad hoc.
Ad hoc.
Ad hoc.
Yeah.
Ad hoc is more appropriate? Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Two comments. One is the solid waste disposal industry, you know, sort of technically includes reuse and recycling, but I think what we're trying to get at there, in that industry would be somebody who runs landfills or someone who is a hauler. And a little bit, in the case of waste management or the big companies, it's both, but it's not always both. And I'm wondering if we want to, I think originally I thought it was going to be a hauler. And I think for the purposes of our current system, that makes sense. The other thing I'd like the committee to consider, we talked about this with the fleet, and I think possibly, because we are a climate smart community, I don't want to make it too big, but, you know, right now it's 10 and 11, and maybe considering a representative from the climate smart committee. Two suggestions.
I'm
confused though. What's your before the climate smart committee? What exactly your suggestion about the whole? What are you suggesting for the whole?
That it be specifically a whole?
That it not say. That rather than solid waste disposal industry, that it say a hauler.
Which one would be a hauler?
I guess if we're approving,
we're the ones recommending.
Yeah. So.
If I could just make a suggestion. Hauler is defined in the flow control laws, what a hauler is.
Mm-hmm.
You've already referenced a lot of the flow control law here. If you were to substitute this for hauler, you've already got the definition of the flow control law. That's defined.
I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you were to say, like, your concerns are with a hauler, if you were to say hauler here, I think that's good, because it's already defined in the flow control law what a hauler is. And it's pretty well defined.
Yeah.
So I think Mary Jones, I mean, she's been on the key with this. You already referenced the flow control law here.
Right. So what would the language be? Sure. Representative from the hauling community? Hauling industry? All right.
I think you could.
We have to stand by the second
time.
One other thought on that?
Yes.
You may want to consider a locally owned and operated hauler.
Okay.
A locally owned and operated hauling company representative.
Why locally? I was going to raise that concern
that. Management's not.
They're not locally owned, and that's the reason.
But we're the ones making the one thing to keep reminding ourselves.
That's during our hands. So right. Somebody from Waste Management came in with a tremendous amount of ability, and it says a local hauler, then we can't put that person.
Right.
The reason, certainly subject to discussion, is when you have a company on there that is in the industry. They may well be a vendor for the ultimate service that you're seeking. Mm-hmm. And so you can put them in a conflict of interest situation. Yeah. And a competitor can say you gave them the inside track.
But the same thing goes for a small hauler. They're going to
no, small hauler isn't going to be involved in disposal.
Why?
Because they're not in.
If we had a regional landfill, then why would there be no need for flow control? It wouldn't be any for it. So small haulers could be responsible to bring their own trash to a landfill if one opened up in Columbia or Green County. I'm just playing devil's advocate. If somebody has the expertise to help the committee out, I would hate to exclude anybody. And if there's 11 people, one person vote, if they influence the other 5 people, then they obviously have a lot to offer. I just don't see how one person could influence.
I'm open.
In my personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm open to discussion and debate, but for me, the fallback is that we, meaning right now, the 5 of us are the ones making the recommendation to the legislature. So the 5 of us are going to decide which hauler or which solid waste person to recommend. So among us, we might put greater weight to a local person, or we might say, No, someone from one of the big companies makes more sense. But depending on who we hear back from.
Or we may have nobody from a small hauler interested and three people from a big hauler interested.
Yeah.
And then we can't
get
anybody from the big one.
I'm just like, I actually did think that there should even be two spaces there.
But there won't be two extra spaces. There's two extra spaces. I think that, remember, I worry that we make it too big and that we sort of tear our hands. Like, I think the most important thing about this is that, assuming it gets passed this month, is that we get work on getting the letters out immediately and that we have it up and running. Ideally,
if we have 100 people, then we can always modify it.
Yeah. And people, you know, I'm just saying that we can always modify.
I'm not saying from the ballers. I'm just saying 100 people from the general public who are actually interested. Then we can.
I mean, well, you would also hope that if you have people interested, that they would be invited to attend and participate as part of the process as well. I mean, so what is the committee's pleasure with? And starting with your first suggestion, man, a representative from the solid waste disposal industry, would you rather say a hauler?
Okay. Maybe
a representative from the hauling community?
From a carting company in the solid waste disposal.
Yeah, there's a license in Ulster County. There's a health permit in Ulster County.
Or a hauler servicing Ulster County? Would that?
I would suggest not saying carting. Carting is the correct term, but the only reason I suggest that you're a hauler, you're according to the flow control law, and also the flow control, they talk about hauler.
Yeah.
So if you stay in that keeping, right, I think it'll flow nice to
All right, so a representative from a hauler, a solid waste hauler servicing Ulster County? Would that address everything?
An Ulster County hauler.
An Ulster County hauler.
Are we missing the main thrust of where we want to go with this? Why haulers? I don't even see a DEC member in this.
You can't have a DEC member. No, they will provide technical assistance, but we cannot appoint another government agency.
No, but
I mean,
we have to have orange sheets.
No, but DEC is pretty clear that
they will have
oversight over whatever we're going to do. They're going to participate in the process. They're going to be invited. They're going to be called on for technical assistance. But they can't be asked to be a voting member of what we're trying to decide to do for our county. They're the ones who are going to eventually.
But Tracy, why a hauler? If you have the chairman of the Resource Recovery Agency or his designee, which probably will be Tim, he knows everything.
It's probably not going to be, not likely, because we actually want a member of the board. Tim doesn't vote. No offense to Tim.
I don't have a problem with it.
So can I just clarify that it does a motion to amend to say a representative from a solid waste hauler?
No, that's not what she said. Okay,
that's what I said. From an Ulster County hauler.
You didn't say a representative.
I don't want that to be unclear that they have to, that their primary business located in Ulster County, although I would like that, but I think in the spirit of what's been said, maybe we should just say the... I was saying providing services, but license to, that would cover...
Ulster County license hauler.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
But to get to Charlie's point, Charlie's basically saying why someone from the industry, why a hauler?
That perspective is part of the conversation.
If there's anything you want to know about the haulers or what's been going on with haulers in the agency, the chairman of the agency is going to be sitting here. He could tell you pretty much anything you want to know about what haulers are doing. He can give you a history of what MDI is doing for us and what they're not doing for us.
It's a question of interest. If, in my opinion, if the process is going to work, we want all those interests represented. The chairman of the RRA really has the RRA's interest at heart. And if you can get those interests to be additive, you'll get a really good solution. But somebody has to be able to speak from that perspective, and I don't think you can answer questions about the haulers, or you or Leon or whoever is
filling that seat, but you're not walking in those shoes. And it just seems to me that certainly when there was not the Recycling Oversight Committee, the Community Advisory, Citizens Advisory, Community Advisory Group, the original group that advised the agency until they were disbanded, they had several volunteers and environmental groups and the League, and it was a very diverse representative group. What happened to that group is a whole other story. No sense in revisiting that. But to have the stakeholders at the table, I think this is really important.
And can I back on that for 1 second, just while you're in the train of thought? And the other thing, I mean, just speaking to my experience, when the Recycling Oversight Committee was engaged and active initially, and Manny will remember this, we had Linda Robeson from Robeson Hall was a representative, and she was an awesome representative. She gave a totally different perspective. Here we were talking about adding regulated recyclables. We were having debates about changing the law, and she brought the perspective of someone who had to implement the law, her business model had to respond to it. So it was a great perspective. Now we run. There is the possibility that we reach out to the hauling industry and nobody wants to serve on this committee. I mean, that's possible. That's why this, for all of us, it says up to 11, because I don't think we should be tied to, if we can't get everybody seated, we're not going to have a meeting. It's like, we reach out, we try to get the stakeholders to the table. They might say things we don't want to hear or offer a totally different perspective. Yes, Ken?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my arms around the end product of this group and how it fits in. It seems to me the key operative result is at the bottom of page 3, where it's saying this committee will basically look at, they will comprehensively look at the new technologies, grant funding, host benefits available to newly established solid waste disposal facilities. So when we're saying new technologies, are you excluding landfills?
Mm-hmm. No.
Landfills and old technology. You're saying within the category of landfills, what you're saying new bells and whistles and how they monitor things? It's basically the same technology. You have a layer at the bottom, you put in your trash, you have a method to collect leachate, and
did you go to all night? I heard from you when we had to.
Yes, I did.
I thought you did. And did you see something new there? Did you see?
I saw more monitoring equipment and stuff, but I didn't see any technology.
I thought the way that they managed and handled the product was almost from out of the future, because it was so much more advanced than what we're doing.
Well,
so I hear your point.
So the point,
let's pause for a second, sorry, but let's just, in the interest of staying on point, Manna, can we agree with the language in Ulster County Life Controller, which was Ken's suggestion, right? Am I saying that correctly? So may I put that in the motion?
I want to make one motion about this resolve section and then get back to that.
We're going to get right back to that. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
But it's not my, I didn't have a chance to express my other concern yet about it, and that it's sort of a technical thing, and we may want to leave it like this, but since number 9 is a representative from the League of Women Voters or related environmental group representative. Okay. Just to be sure that the League is not an environmental group. So it's either the League, no, I want to leave the League in there. The League brings to the process 30 years of studying this in a very neutral way. So I almost want to get rid of or other environmental group. But just in case the league couldn't supply somebody, I think it's fine to leave it.
If you want to leave it, then let's delete the word related.
Yes.
That's your point. Yeah.
Or
representative. But I am also okay with leaving it just the league if you want.
Because like you said, we might not get it.
Okay.
But we're talking about this group.
Okay, so then.
Just for clarification, I had a misunderstanding. I thought you were referring to the committee that the league has when you said they're related.
I said to the league who they send. Ideally, they would send somebody from that committee, but we don't need to send somebody there. Yeah.
The environmental group representative.
He's taking it as an extension of the League of Women Voters, but it's not.
No.
We can't. He said the word related.
Had a rep, and the League of Women Voters had a rep. The committee could choose whoever they wanted.
So it's a representative from the League of Women Voters. Or an environmental group representative. It's an either or.
Let's keep things on point. Let's begin with seven. Nana, I'm going to say you made a motion to change seven to the language to say an Ulster County license holder.
Yes.
We have a second to that.
All
in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's changed. Thank you. Then number nine. So we want to keep the option in case the league doesn't bring something forward, making sure that it is at least an environmental group. Okay. Do I hear a motion to delete related and add the word and?
So moved.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Wait a second. It can't be and.
No,
environment.
That
would be two.
No, okay.
That would be like,
okay,
all in favor?
Wait, let's focus for that one.
Okay,
great.
Now, next thing.
At large, before we go on to camp?
Okay, so at large or ad hoc, I got to tell you, I'm not even positive what the difference. I know that we most often use the word at large.
So there's like an oversight committee to say
that. Someone might tell me the technical definition of ad hoc.
Charlie,
looking that up.
I did. I'll tell you my impression, and then Charlie can either confirm or... That's exactly right. In other words, this is a distinct association of people that are meeting on a regular basis. And I think here what you mean is at large. An ad hoc committee is something that's put together for, the whole committee would be an ad hoc.
Concerned with a particular end or purpose, ad hoc investigating committee, formed or used for specific or immediate problems or of needs.
Yeah, I think it's at large.
So a committee would be ad hoc.
The committee, yeah.
The individuals to appointed would be at large.
At large, just so you think of members.
Okay,
so a motion to delete ad hoc, to substitute at large. We have a motion from Rich, a second from Mary. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Now, if there's nothing more to resolve, let's get back to
this. Okay. I guess I'm really questioning, are you just asking the committee to look at the new technology or current technology?
No, we are not just asking for new technologies from our perspective. We're all technologies.
So what?
It's a very good catch.
So what? Yeah.
Related technology?
Well, how about we review current technology?
Yeah.
Review any technology.
Current.
Currently being used. Could there be some consideration for the law?
There's nothing in
there. That's part of your review?
Well, there's nothing in there, but it's proposed.
Well, then it's
never been used.
Well, that it's not being used, and it's
all.
Currently,
I don't care what we do. Review all technologies.
Well, you could just get rid of new. You could say to review the technologies, grant funding, and host benefits available.
Yeah, that's probably good. Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of new, and open it out to newly established technologies.
And the other point I'd I've made before.
Is that in the same resolve?
No.
Okay, so motion to delete new in that resolve. Just move to it. Second?
Terry.
All in favor?
5-9. I just want to say that's only one of, I mean, I think these other things are real tasks, the other resolve. So you seem to think, if I heard you correctly, that that was the main purpose.
I think it set out the overarching task. I think it was an important task. I'm grateful for it because it's absolutely not what
Okay.
Okay. I see. Because it sort of set the tone for everything that follows, that we're going to be looking at the new, and that's not what we meant to look at. Okay, next. Can you
get another? Yes, on page 4, the third result. I kind of feel it's a little loose, because it basically says at the end of the year you'll give us a written report, and including the activities to date. It's kind of loosey-goosey saying, okay, well, tell us what you've been doing for last year and then what happened after that. So I might make a suggestion, shall provide a written report of findings.
Of its findings and recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So it's delete, including its activity to date, shall provide a written report of its
findings
and recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move it.
Okay. Second? All in favor?
Aye. And the last result does say ultimate recommendations.
Can
I ask two questions? Is there a term for the member?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. What's
the
term? What's
good?
Right
now
it's 1 year.
Does it say
it in the thing? No. No, we couldn't have it in the landfill.
Well, we could, but would you want to extend beyond the report?
I would just put your term is until you resign or are replaced. Which is kind of the way it is now anyway.
So that's a bad sentence. I didn't think it was going to go that long. How long does it take to get a medical operation?
I mean, we can think about it, and we need to think this through right now. So, to the resigner replace. So, the year it's a convenient term in that if we get this going by January, we have till December to do it, which also coincides with the end of our legislative term. And in fact, all of these appointments, by nature of their positions could change the following year. So it's almost as if it's a natural end. I think the question though.
No, but you know, on the other I understand what you're saying, but on the other token, which I think we should have a date in there,
like the website, the committee.
The chair of the Resource Recovery Board votes for a new person. That person can have that person replaced at any time. Or if the...
No, the designee would be the chair's designee.
Yeah, what if the chair changes? And then in a month after the initial appointment, the chair changes, whether it be the Ways and Means chair, the legislative chair, the environmental chair. What if the person changes? Can they appoint a new person within 1 month of the other person being there?
Or somebody's on the board. Every year we either have two replacements every year or one.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that changeover. So piggyback on that, I think there's going to have a point where, suppose Kath, her appointment's up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose Leon appoints Kath to this committee, and then on December 31st, the legislation doesn't reappoint her.
Right, or because
this designee doesn't have to, Tracy's designee could be somebody that lives in Connecticut that wants to come to a meeting. They don't have to be a legislator. They don't have to be. The chair's designee does not have to be a board member.
Oh,
you know what?
My
thing is that we need to change. That was
my other question.
That was my
second question.
Let's go to your second question first, because it's an easier fix.
So you're saying
He's a member of the agency board appointed by the chair.
Okay. The chair of the legislature, I've scrolled through this, resolved that the chair of the legislature or legislative designee, the chair of the Ways and Means Committee or Ways and Means designee, can we just say that? Does that sound weird?
Or committee designee.
Yeah, but we want it to be the Ways and Means Committee. It needs to be specific. It shouldn't be misread. The chair of the Ulster County Legislature's Energy and Environment Committee or Energy and Environment Committee designee. We definitely had this discussion. We just didn't, we weren't specific enough. The president of the Ulster County Association of County Supervisors and Village Mayors or association member designee.
Just associations designate?
No, because they could designate someone from, we needed to be a member. Like associations designate,
okay.
Who's not at all on the Board of Supervisors and Post Mayors.
Mm-hmm.
Association member designate. The one who gets a pass is the mayor, because if the mayor, can't have mayoral, it's the mayor or...
Or the mayor's designee.
We don't have to say that. That's
right.
Fine.
Okay.
The mayor gets the designee. The chair of the Resource Recovery Board of Directors or Board of Director designee. Does this make sense? The chair? Is
that following? Yeah. So it's not the chair who makes it. It's the RRA.
No. It's what we're trying to do. If there's another way to do it, okay. Using the RRA board. We want the chair to make the designation. We want the chair
on the board.
We want the chair of the RRA to be RA board to be the member, or the chair designated to be the member. But it needs to be designate someone from the board.
Or
the designated from the board.
Or his designate.
Or designate from the board.
Or his designate.
Or right now, or his designate.
Yeah.
We don't want Leon to designate Vic.
Okay, I understand where you're going.
By the chair. Because he can appoint himself.
Okay.
Agency board member appointed by the chair.
Or you see RRA, that's board designate.
Or
you just put designee, a designee from the board. RRA board.
How do you guys want to handle this? I don't know how many words to put in. But you know what I'm saying? It has to be clear.
It doesn't mean it has to be for the same organization as the person doing that designation.
So if you said agency board member, that covers that. Appointed by the chair.
Yeah.
He can appoint himself. And that covers everything.
Yeah. But it's got to be that way for everybody else. The legislature, the mayor, well, not the mayors, but it's got to be that.
Everybody but the mayor. All the first time.
I think
getting legislative designee appointed by the chair of the legislature.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the idea is we're asking first for the chairs of these things, and if not, they're designee, like from their own organization. I don't know.
So that leaves the chair of the Resource Recovery Board of Directors or Board of Directors member designee. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think that sizes it up.
Okay. And then we'll do the same for all the rest.
Right.
I think for Resource Recovery Agency, earlier on you have said UCRRA, so I think that's a Resource Recovery Agency. You said you would refer to it.
Okay, so we're going to, a motion to clarify on 1 through 6, with the exception of 5, that the put in language clarifying that the designee shall be from the associated the language you just used Ways and Means member designee, member of Ways and Means Committee designee, member of the Environment Committee designee, and at the same time to change Resource Recovery Board of Directors to UCRRA Board of Directors in keeping with the previous. Okay, I'll entertain the motion.
Come hold up.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And now we can see why the polystyrene foam is taking a really long time to read details of it. And these are important. I mean, they're critical things. So now, Rex, to your first point, since we dealt with your second first, your first point was... it was about the term.
Oh, yeah.
So what do we want to do about that?
I don't care what we do. I just think it could be an issue. If a new chair or a new ways and means or a new this or a new that come in, can they replace somebody 3 months into the work, 4 months into it?
Well, I guess that...
If that's their designee, that's their right to do. But do you want to get somebody kicked off a volunteer committee a month afterwards or 2 months afterwards?
Well, I think the bigger point is what if the... Because we're looking for the chair, like, going back to Tim's point, like if Leon were to appoint, just not to be personal, if Leon were to appoint someone who was no longer on the board, or Leon were to appoint someone and then Leon was no longer chair, so the designee was no longer the chair, the designee, in both cases, like, they're not filling the spirit of the appointment. But I do think...
I'm fine with that. All I'm saying is it opens up a can of worms where a volunteer could be booted. A week, a month, 6 months, 4 months, 2 months after.
I'm just saying,
if their volunteers get booted,
Just what did they serve for the entire length of the committee or the term of the committee?
What if they're writing a report and the new Ways and Means chair comes in and says, I don't like so-and-so, I'm taking him or her off and they're doing 40% of the work?
How about... Once appointed, designee shall serve for the duration of the committee.
This is basically a one-year committee.
But should there be some out in case there's something?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We should also put that if people don't make meetings, they can be replaced. Because, 1 year is...
Once appointed, okay, so...
We can get really complicated in the whole thing.
Okay, so
Rex,
you resolve committee members once appointed shall serve for the duration of the 1 year term. We haven't said it's a 1 year term, but it's basically a 1 year term. What happens if we say that? What happens if it takes a little longer? See, it says that they're going to give a report in 1 year.
I mean, nobody can be replaced unless...
We can always put in something if there's an extension. I did that with my committee.
Yeah, but what if the legislature doesn't extend it? And then, I don't know.
When you said
the legislature, right?
We have that. We in the legislature.
So it's not open to interpretation.
So we could extend it. Yeah, we could extend it.
We could extend it.
We could extend it.
We
could
extend
it.
We could extend it.
I'm a little concerned about doing that because if there is a turnover of having an extension. I really think that this report and recommendation of this commission, now we could get 6 months into it and decide that we want to pass something to extend it, but I don't want... Because it is an election year next year, and there can be turnover, even at the executive level, I think that this group of people, and it's really not a full year because we won't know the appointments to be able to make these appointments.
So it'll probably
start in March, but I'm sorry,
it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
Their work is complete until the final report is written. Or they resign.
By December, the work of this committee, at least this assignment, should be complete so that,
the agency and the legislature and everybody knows, and the supervisors know how to, what direction we're going in. That's hopefully what this
commission will create. I think a couple of interesting things have been, I think you're right that I'm thinking of the year as being a year from January, but if it takes a month to get it going or 2 months, it could easily push it till after the election. And for that reason, I think, you know, it could be 9 months, 10 months into the work. You don't want everything to change. So I think it is actually a really great idea. I just wrote resolve, committee members once appointed shall serve until the written report has been submitted, which later we say is a year. I think also that the reality is, in terms of the possibility for extension, the things that this commission is going to be tackling, we all know, are it's giant stuff that is going to involve, depending on what the recommendation is, a lot more work. So we're not expecting this commission to come back with documents like that, you know, GIS, like, and studies of all this, of all the land, and you know what I mean, like, this commission is probably going to come out and say, we think that this is what the county should investigate and the agency should investigate, and this is the direction we think that it should take, or these are the technologies we should look into, and why. And that, if followed, is going to necessitate a whole other action that's going to be a significant action, whatever it is, whatever the suggestion. So I think the idea, my opinion now, is the idea of getting these people appointed. But I think that's a good idea. It's getting these people appointed and making sure they stay for the duration, even if there are changes, is key, because if, be it the board or this committee, if a representative from this committee or the board due to changes.
Or a legislator could be on it and not get reelected. Or they could step down half term because they got a new job and they can't do it anymore, but they still want to.
But it doesn't mean that they didn't know, that they have enough interest to get involved in the first place, so hopefully this stays of it out. So I think we should ensure that once appointed, that they're in until the end of the
year. Right, they know they're
in. Tim.
Something I just thought of. Ulster County license holder.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to add Ulster County license holder by UCI. There's two licenses in this county. There's the health department license and they like one holder too. And they're actually, the services are different. Because their public health licensing also includes renderers, which have nothing to do with us.
So couldn't we just, instead of saying Ulster County license holder, couldn't we say UCRRA license holder?
Sure. So that way the citizens
are... I'll make that motion. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And then a motion to add a resolve after, should it be either after the membership is defined, or should it be after...
Appointed. Appointed.
No, I'm saying, where do we put it in here? After it's defined here?
We're after 30 days after this has been passed, you have to tentative appointment. And then they have to be after 30 days.
The commission shall meet the 30 days of the membership appointment approved by the full legislature, and be it further resolved that commission members, once appointed, shall serve until the written report has been submitted, or what do we want to say instead of the written? Shall serve for the duration? What's everyone's preference? So the written report has been submitted for the duration?
I think that would be the same thing.
I know, but what do you prefer, though?
The stumbling block is the fact that it's not really a year. It's a year by the time they get appointed. It's a year. You can't say till the end of the calendar year.
But we're not trying to do that. I think the point is that it could go into the following year, but we don't want the membership to change. So the point is, once they're appointed, they're in, even if it goes to January or February.
But I also think that they should
He's looking at that.
I'm sorry.
What's your preference, Ken? What do you think?
On?
Written declaration. Further resolved that committee members shall want to appoint a self-juror until the written report has been submitted, or for the duration, or what's the language that we want to...
For the duration of the committee assignment.
I think it's great because you don't want to get somebody from Dutchess County that has nothing to do with this county and no best interest. The only thing I would be wary of is, I hate calling out companies for waste management and county waste because they have a vested interest in not putting a landfill in. Because if they did on our waste, they want our waste to go to their facilities. They're the only two licensed haulers that have final disposal that I can think of. All the rest of them don't have any. I think
it's something
you brought
up. Well, we don't bring it to them.
No, they've been on the
right, but we don't.
Right,
no, no.
So 5 years, they're going to rebid again. They didn't get it because they were too high. But
I think it's something you want to consider.
It's something you consider. If you put something on there, that doesn't not get a permit bill. Because there's a lot of money at stake.
Right. But they are only one vote.
Yeah. But it's something that we need to consider. Yeah. And to that end, can we get from the agency a list, can you forward to Krista, all the agency license haulers so that we can think through and extend to the
service? Or, by the other token, you never know, they might get on it and they may be instrumental in helping build one in the region.
Why would you want that?
Because they want trash and money.
We've got the expertise, we've already built one. Maybe we'll invest and build one. This could work, and then they get the garbage, but if they sit on our committee and invest the money and do it, and we stay full for us, we'll share. In a way.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? And I think that we'll have to reach out to almost any world of agency which ones to.
Well, the good thing is we've got two open slots, and if we have a lot of interest, we can add slots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, no matter who the folks are from, if it's
on the odd number.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully the workers' thing is unanimous, or if it comes down with 6-5 vote, we've probably got a lot of serious thinking. So.
Yeah. And if, for example, suddenly we found there's such a tremendous amount of interest that we need. If we didn't know that, there would be more slots. Yeah. As we're making appointments, we amend this resolution to add more slots. I don't think it's going to happen. And we're also going to be 18, yeah. But yeah.
It's not going
to happen. Okay. So, motion on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
As amended.
I just remembered, should we just do the climate smart as possibly?
Right. Okay. Going back one last time.
Okay.
In the membership resolve, Manana brought up, I don't know how we missed it, the possibility of putting a representative from the Climate Smart Committee, which is our own appointed committee, but has representatives from the legislature, from the Supervisor Association, from the industry, correct? Right, from the...
No, Climate Smart has a business representative, an environmental representative, a public works representative and an E&E representative and
the town.
Not supervisors, just town.
Oh, just the town.
Yeah. So, I mean, this one I will play this. So, anyway, it's there. It's possible that, but, you know, I sort of have a vested interest.
Right.
I want to hear what the committee thinks.
I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
I don't have a problem.
Is the motion to change
if 10 somebody,
to
if this adds an extra
10, yeah.
No, when,
and then,
yeah, make it 10 would be climate. No, I actually would insert it.
Okay.
Where I'd make it 7 and then bump everyone else down to 3.
Yeah.
So it would say the same. It would say the chair of the Australian Climate Smart Committee or Climate Smart Committee member designated from the Climate Smart, whatever you're wording that consistently. And then I would bump all the other numbers up because I think we should keep 2 at large in case we need them.
So
we would then subsequently change it to 12. I don't personally have a problem with an even number.
It comes down to an even number.
Okay, so is everyone okay with that? So,
a trend,
you want to make that motion?
Yes.
So we all know what it is, second by risk, which changes both the number of membership and insurance to change the CSC.
Are there terms to say?
I just want this show to show that the work on the fleet management policy and the voluntary phone is going to probably really look expensive. So, okay, last couple things, I'll be fast. Comment for a great update, man.
We actually made a good deal of progress, Amanda came and gave us a very in-depth report on the audit. I think that was the main accomplishment of the last meeting. And also, the person we were looking for, the business representative, was unable to participate, and so
the new
business member is Patrice Courtney Strong, and we need to help me remember to send a thank you and invite the other gentleman from RuPaul's to come and participate, and. as we used to say at town board meetings, and the minister available. I don't want to go into all the detail. If there's something that really needs to come back to the committee, because it's still in formation, and we have people who are at various levels of, you know, everybody's learning from each other, and there's so much to think about. I guess the other point that is important to make, though, is that Mark Lowry and a woman named Dazzle, not Naomi with her last name, but I can get it. What a great name, Dazzle. From New York State DEC office that oversees the Climate Smart Task Force. Also, hold on a minute. I have one little thing that I found.
Okay.
It's a tiny little thing. Was present and said, you know, basically we're sort of right on track. There are some that are, you know, very, very well developed and others that are just starting. He liked the idea that we were going to try to get countywide participation, and I think that's it about it on that.
Okay, and you'll keep us maybe, Krista, can you notice the committee of when that committee's meeting? I've been away for the last couple, but maybe when that committee's meeting, if you could just send an email, not that anybody would be able to send, but just this way we at least know and someone wants to go. We'll just have to communicate if you could also, if you're planning on attending, if you could let Krista know, because we might run into forum issues with too many of
them. Right.
I think it's still important, like, let's keep us our committee moving forward.
Well, we need to do a resolution appointing that last member.
Mm-hmm. We will. Can we do that for next
December?
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, yeah, it won't make the threshold for late. So, yes, it's for...
Oh, for Patrice. Okay.
before December's meeting, after December, right? Right. Yeah, December. Okay. And just to be, all members of the committee sponsoring that appointment?
Yeah, I think we have our own list, so. Yeah, and I think once our minutes are approved, we should send them to this committee, because it's
that'd be great.
And Benna sent me her notes, so I'll send those over to you as soon as I get to a computer.
Okay.
Okay. Wednesday, Bob Sudlow and David Bowles are coming to our caucus. I cannot go. I have a mandatory Section 9 coaches meeting in Goshen High School at 6 o'clock, so it's mandatory. I can't coach, I don't go. So basically, I spoke to Mike High and I had a long conversation, a good conversation, and then I spoke to Bob Sudlow, called me afterwards, and they both committed that they're going to work with the watershed. They want to resolve the issue. There's going to be no more problems with, like Town of Olive actually had to go out and pay another a private vendor to do it because the county wouldn't bring the machine for Olive to do. So it was Mike or Bob, or maybe both of them, mentioned possibly looking at a new resolution, kind of re-establishing or the relationship. And Tracy and I spoke about this today.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't want to speak for the Catskill Watershed. I'm a member of the board, but I'm not, I'm just one person. But I don't think there's an issue if the county needs to use it out of the watershed. I think the issue is if they're using it out of the watershed and a watershed community needs to use it, it needs to be used. They don't have to drop something in the middle, but certainly they can't say, we'll be there in 6 months, we'll be there in a year.
Or not respond. Or
not respond at all, which is really basically what happened. And that's really what was happening, and not responding. And then when they did respond by saying, well, the contract is null and void after 5 years, basically saying, So Bob and Mike both said that they want to resolve it, and they were fine.
Are you going to draft the resolution?
I wanted to see what the attorneys say, what Dave and Bob say, because Bob and I spoke about that,
okay,
possibly doing it. And I told you this, Tracy, today. I think this whole thing happened because the Deputy Highway Commissioner, Dave Bowles, and the attorney, I don't think it was Dave Shealy. I don't think it was Bob Sudlow. It wasn't my kind. I think Dave Bowles probably was looking at contracts and said, you know what, this is null and void. We're not using it there anymore. I think it was just poor judgment on his part, not realizing, we do business with a lot of people and good faith and stuff go a long way. So I just want to be able to just tell the Catskill Watershed, it's going to be resolved. They still need to reach out to them. They're still waiting for paperwork, their budget numbers. Catskill Watershed gave them money. The county has money from the CWC for, maintaining the vehicle, maintenance of it, different things. And there's a budget line somewhere. They've asked to know how much is the budget. Bob and them haven't gotten back. I don't know if they moved the money. I doubt they did. But, I don't know if somebody could ask them that tomorrow, maybe, if you don't mind. Just say, can you just say to them, call CWC and get this straightened out. Because, Bob made me feel like he was going to reach out to CWC when Bob Sudlow, when we spoke 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and I was up there the other day for a meeting, and they said they still haven't heard from him. So I told him, I assured him, I told him about my conversation with Bob and Mike, and that it was going to get resolved.
We can talk. I just need to know exactly from you before Wednesday what we want, what are the asks when they come, in terms of, you're talking about this budget line, just so I'm very clear for, which we don't have to do right now, you need to be very clear to me, and then, how recently have you confirmed that they're coming to caucus?
Somebody sent me an email, maybe, I'll check with Jay. Jay may have sent me an email, or Nikki, somebody sent me an email within the last week or so.
Okay, but we should just reconfirm that.
Yeah, and Bob showed it too. Bob did tell me. He said he'd see a caucus.
Don knows.
But Don set it up.
Okay.
And Don maybe Don sent me an email. But Bob said, we'll see you at caucus. I just, listen, like I said, if we get it resolved that Watershed Town needs it, that they get it there. maybe not the next day, maybe not the next week, but they work with the supervisor, highway superintendent, and say, we're going to do your project. And if the project takes 6 months or a year, so be it. You spend 6 months or a year in watershed finishing the project, which they don't.
But as a policy, I mean, we may need to, I will talk to Bob about this, but I don't know who first brought up the idea of a resolution, whether it was you or Bob. But the I mean, that may be the appropriate way to deal with a policy directive on a piece of equipment.
We should maybe put in every resolution, when this contract ends, the legislature needs to be notified. What is going on with the piece of equipment? What are your, you know, whatever. I mean, to me, it's really...
There's a lot that...
I think it was pretty shady of the county to just take it and snub your nose at this organization. I mean, it was pretty shady. I think it's certainly not good. But you know, and like I told Bob, we all represent the same people. I mean, you know, all our interests, we all have the same interests. And for them to do that without telling me or the supervisor, and here's a real issue. Here's a quick thing, and I'll just end it with this, because the Catskill Watershed gives the towns money to pay the county to do this. So it's not like the county's going up. The county employees are using this, but the CWC pays the county to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They pay them. Olive has money in the budget from the CWC to do the vacuum truck. So Olive, the county rate is lower, obviously, because the county doesn't need to pay money. So they had to go to a private company and pay probably three times the cost that it would have cost them for the county. So it was a loss for everybody.
Right.
Olive's line got depleted now for the future, so it was a loss for everybody.
Well, I'm glad to hear that
I felt good about it. I just need, I'm the middle person. Bob and Dave Bowles need to deal with them up there and you know, and say, this is the policy moving forward. We're gonna service the towns and the watershed, and first they're our priority. Here's the policy. If it's out of the watershed, we will get it there in a certain, you know what I mean? It's not for us as a committee to go between them and them. Unless, if we're going to do that, then my recommendation would be just give it to one of the towns in the watershed. And if the county needs it, then the town can lend it to the county. That would be, if it's not being used, that would, if we can't resolve it in another way.
Hopefully we will resolve it. We'll talk tomorrow, or Wednesday morning, about the budget line detail you want me to ask for. And I think if we need to move forward with a resolution reaffirming a commitment to the relationship, then we need to do that, or as a policy reaffirming that we're committed to the watershed.
Or the policy, when a town calls, how long is it going to be cleared?
So we'll have to look into that, and hopefully it'll all be resolved in short.
And I just have seen you see here 11 counties, and I've never had this. So it's unique to Ulster County.
Hopefully it's almost over.
Thank you.
Last couple updates, just because it's been brought up before. The ASH boards, we're still talking about that presentation. I made the executive decision not to have them at this meeting because I knew it would take a long time, because we are talking about Amanda, again, talking about the Ulster County Task Force, representative from the industry, and a representative from DEC, which is quite a bunch of coordination. I don't think, I'm going to look to maybe January. I feel like December we should,
it's winter, so it's not pressing.
Well, and the Polyfarian Forum, let's get those things off of our agenda, and then ask for potentially for January. And the other thing was Pilgrim Pipeline. Jen Nesker couldn't be here today because of another scheduling conflict. So when she is available, if December works for her, I'll have her on the agenda, and with a brief presentation at least in the beginning, but just to let you know, because you've all been hearing about it and had information, and we'll probably resend it to Pilgrim Pipeline, just like a time twister, information electronically, in case it's needed to whatever possible, everyone can refresh their memory before
in that regard, on November 17th at in the Elster, 7 o'clock, I think, is a presentation about the Pilgrim Pipeline with Tim Metzger and a few other experts and somebody from Riverkeeper to help people to understand that the pipeline isn't a cleaner alternative to the bomb trains and the tankers.
So what time was it?
I think 7,
and
if not, I'm sure not, at Sunil through Lecture Center 104.
Yes,
I don't think so. Is this pipeline related to Richard Epstein, to the president?
The one
that... That's, I think, the Keystone.
Keystone, not at all. There are dozens of pipelines. The major ones that affect us are this Pilgrim Pipeline, which runs north-south along the Thruway, really from New Jersey.
Above ground or below ground?
Pardon?
Above or below ground?
From?
Below ground?
Below ground, but still, you know, great in our groundwater. And it's just extremely volatile. It's a two-way pipeline. So
it's not currently installed, right?
No, this is brand new, and it goes through, you know, Gardner, New Paltz, right up to
the... They did one in Sullivan County a few years ago. I don't know what it did, but... You know, these huge tractor trailers with all Texas, and they were coming with these huge, and they were going down the road through the mountains. It was amazing. It was like a 2 or 3 year project in Sullivan County. But when it's done, you don't even know that anybody was there.
Yeah, but that's...
I don't know what they were...
I don't know whether that was that particular one is natural gas or...
It was amazing.
But this is not tar sands. This is... Bach and Cruz, and it's really, really dangerous stuff. Then there's tomorrow night. I just want to remind folks this is the PCB. I know I flyered everybody, but that's tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6 at Vassar. And I also just want to say that I've been getting calls, I don't know if everybody else has yet, about the Niagara bottling, and I don't know what the legislative role is going to be, but I think that folks are going to want to have some time on our agenda because it's a big issue, and there are pros and cons and a lot of issues.
And it seems like they're pretty far down the process.
They are, and the DEC has said that they do not want to be lead agency. They want to leave it with the town of Ulster. But the city of Kingston has said they want it to be DEC. They feel that because it involves many municipalities.
Yeah.
So it's kind of up in the air right now who is, as far as the DEC is concerned, Town of Ulster should stay lead agency. But I think that the involved agencies have to agree to that, and they haven't, so I don't know how that could... I think ultimately the commissioner of DEC, if it's disputed, the commissioner of DEC gets to say who the lead agency is.
I think they may be applying for an IDA tax exemption as well.
Yes, I just read that.
And I know that previously the legislature took a stance as in New Paltz, that you didn't want to say anything. But I think that policy needs to change.
What policy?
Our policy in relation to the IDA, which you talked about when New Paltz, I mean, we haven't done anything, though, about
that. We never voted on New Paltz, huh?
Well, it got shouted down in the in economic development.
But they just applied on for something through the state.
It's the state one. It's the state startup. It's not the IDA.
The state startup.
So
it's New York. Yeah. In that case, they get 10 years of
exactly.
No.
For the employees, too.
No.
No state taxes.
No income?
No state income tax. They'll still pay federal, like all the other stuff.
No payroll tax.
No incentives for companies to come to me.
No property tax.
No
pilot.
And
yes. I don't think the IDA has to say that because you know
it's not the IDA.
You have to say it. Yes, that's right. They applied, yeah. Doesn't mean anything. That's true.
Did I find
it? Okay, is there any...
Listen, I don't begrudge employees. The business is made with the employees and regular people.
You know, but I think it's important to
I think it's important to incentivize new business, and I'm certainly not knocking it, but it makes me think again about the Energy Improvement Corp, you know, what we just passed. We're waiting for it to hopefully get signed.
Right, you've got 10 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
10 days?
What?
How long can you... I thought it's automatically law if it's not signed in a certain amount of time.
Well, you didn't know, is it ready to... Yeah, he did not notify me
about signing. It's my understanding that no action is taken, and what? It's not that long of a period, I didn't think.
30 days, I think.
It's not that long.
I think it's 10 days for resolution, 30 days for... Oh, but either way, I mean, to me, that I think, again, about like, what about all the existing businesses, those that are struggling, knowing so much to incentivize, the state of so much to incentivize new businesses, and I see it in the movie industry all the time, because... The movie industry is always chasing the best deal, which is why production, all of a sudden New York will have a boom of production, and then all production moves to Louisiana. Even if the movie is about New York City,
they used to be in California, but the New York City gave them like no taxes or this or that.
I think that was not just about the tax incentive, though. It was also about bringing the Lake Show back to New York City.
But they saved $20 million a year.
Yeah, but still, the production is, you know, they still go with money. It's not about loyalty to the state. I mean, there's probably nothing stopping a company from coming through the startup and then leaving.
Yeah, I don't know the rules.
I don't know the rules.
I just see they're applying for startup. Start New York.
Again, my biggest thing with the bottling, which Legislator Maloney came to talk to me about the bottling issue, I believe he's supporting it from the feeling that I got from him, but what I've gotten called on has less to do with the impact of the water or the water system, but has to do with bottled water, like the plastic, not even the plastic production, but just the idea that what a business to invest in something that we know is just not sustainable. And I mean, when you start to talk about the numbers of
What was it 30 days?
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.